Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
There we go. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
And I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And this is Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. And we're excited about what God is saying, what God is doing in our lives and allowing us to come into your homes and wherever you're listening to us to deliver this wonderful Word of God. I know God has given us an awesome task and assignment in really bringing order back to the body of Christ. Who seems so many people are self-centered in their agendas and motives, and God is trying to get us back focused on Him, and that is where our heart, our desire really is. So we're excited to minister this word. Before we get in too far with that, I want to turn it over to Prophetess Crystal so that she may give us our announcements and lead us in our prayer tonight. Prophetess.
Amen. God bless you, everyone. And once again, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. Just letting you know, in the way of announcements, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us right here for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen. On Thursday nights at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear us live at www.ctkr.org. That's O-R-G. That's also our website. Take some time. Visit us. Get to know us, Apostle McQueen, myself, and get to know about Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Also, for our missions, we have several sons and daughters that God has given us the grace and the charge over. Amen. And not only do they need our prayers, but they also need our financial support as well. And we are asking you to also pray and ask God about becoming not only a prayer partner or a vision partner with this ministry, Christ the King, but also becoming a mission supporter with one of our sons and daughters that are attached to this ministry that God has given us charge over. They too also have a Facebook page as well, and visit them where you can get to learn more about them, learn more about their needs, learn what God is doing in their lives, and also what vision that God has given them so that they can continue with their kingdom work as well. Also, speaking of the Facebook page, and my husband will talk more about his sons and daughters because that's what he likes to do. Visit our Facebook page for Christ the King Redemptive Ministries as well as Women of Prophetic Destiny. Please like us on those pages. Leave your prayer reports and your prayer requests and your praise report. and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you need someone to touch and agree with you in prayer, we'll be more than glad to do so and watch God move on your behalf according to his will. Amen. For your life. Amen. Those are the announcements for this evening. And now let us look to prayer. Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for this day. We magnify and glorify your name, for this is the day that the Lord has made. We are rejoicing. We continue to rejoice and are glad in it. Lord, even now as we come before you, we humble ourselves at your feet. We just delve into this word. We ask that you would breathe upon your word by the Holy Spirit, that you would just allow us to understand, enlighten your word, allow us to come into the wisdom of your word. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, even now, we pray, God, that this word will begin to be life-changing for us in Jesus' name, that you would allow this word to just begin to move and shake us and shift us, God, and challenge us to grow and challenge us to move towards the kingdom and the kingdom assignment that you have placed upon our lives. God, we bless your name. We praise you. We glorify you for all that you've done. And we never forget to give your name more praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you for that wonderful prayer. And just say about the announcements, amen. We have our sons and daughters that we have in ministry. They need your support and your help. Go to our website, www.ctkr. There you can find out more information about them. Amen. And we do it through the website because we want to make sure that no one is purporting themselves to be a son or a daughter of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and solicit or ask or propose that they're from us to receive funds. Amen. So we don't so much go to their Facebook pages because we don't put their name out like that. But if you go to the website, you'll actually see who they are. And those are the people who are endorsed by us. Amen. And on the last page with the contact, you'll actually see where you can click on their name. There's emails that you can address them and send to them. If you would like to send a charitable contribution to them, then you can click the donate button and let us know who you want it to go to or where you would like for your gift to go to. That way we can send it to them and make sure that they receive it. With the world the way that it is, there's so many different people who try to use charitable contributions and nonprofit organizations to do personal, you know, business and for personal gain. And we endeavor to keep the integrity of the gospel and who we are in ministry so that the gospel is not hindered at any time. Amen. So when you go to our website, www.ctkr.org, there you'll find out more about us. We pray that you become a vision partner with us, and we'll be sending you information as you become a partner with us. We'll share with you what your contribution is doing over in Kenya, Uganda, Nigeria, over in the Philippines, Pakistan, India, and those other places where we've been contacted and people are asking for our help and support. Amen. So we pray that you will be a vision partner with us and help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Tonight we want to pick up where we had left off with Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the 14th verse. We actually had ended up a little higher up in the chapter, but we want to really get into this and look at it because there's some things that the Holy Spirit is saying to us, and we need to hear it and understand it so we know exactly what he's trying to do, and we need to be able to hear this right. Amen. So let's read from Hebrews, the 12th chapter, starting at the 14th verse. It says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. Huh? And by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. As we've been dealing with our identity and being transformed and conforming to the image of God, transformed by the renewing of our minds, as we've been going through those things and dealing with who we are, our contentment with the Lord, these are the things that we have had over the past 6 to 9 months or so. We have been ministering this word. This is yet a progression from that. Is that after all is said and done, the one thing that God is calling us to as his children is holiness. Mm-hmm. I wish we could understand holiness from the standard and from the aspect that God the Father sees holiness. We see holiness based on some people, how people dress. Some people see holiness based on whether or not they cover their head, when they come in church, and some other things that they actually do. I want you to know that God is seeking for us to be holy. Now, Apostle, what are you talking about holy? I'm holy. I go to church. I sing in the choir. I serve on the usher board. You know, I went through my 3 classes and got my license as a Christian worker. And you know, every once in a while I read the Bible. I pray before I eat. And, you know, listen, you know, those are different things that you should be doing. But none of those things identify you as holy. See, holiness is more than just a thought. Holiness is a lifestyle, and it is something that we have to demonstrate. The world knows that the saints are saints when they see us acting like saints. Well, what do you mean by that? Sounds like I went around a circle. No, I didn't go around in a circle. I simply mean that when you say that you're a child of God, then your behavior should be as one who is a child of God. Hello, somebody. That means that you shouldn't be out celebrating Satan and you know, doing all kind of heinous things, and then turn around and come back to church on Sunday, and you know, they sing your song, the song you like, and you get your run on, you get your hop on, you might shout over in the corner, you know, you might cry and tear up and all the rest of that. That does not mean holiness. Amen. See, an emotional response does not mirror spiritual commitment and discipline. Amen. Mm-hmm. That means that when I get up and I preach a message, and it's interesting, I'll say it like this on the air here, as I'm ministering the word, I do more teaching. But when I'm in person, depending on where I am ministering, I may be more visual. It may be a little more. What's the word I want to use here? I might hoop a little bit. Maybe that's the word. I don't really do a lot of hooping and hollering, you know, unless the Spirit of God hits me. It's, in other words, when I minister the word, it's about the revelation of that word that's more important than whether or not I tuned up at the end and you know, gave pauses and, you know, Yes, all that is wonderful, and I enjoy good preaching. Amen, I do. But if you're not saying anything,
right,
then you can keep the show and the nothingness. Amen. When I go, I'm looking for a word from God. I want to hear what he's saying. And everything that I'm looking for and I'm listening to, whether or not it walked down my street, came up my path, knocked on my door, or kicked it in, if it's going to make me better, give me the word. Give me the whole word. I want holiness. That's what we're looking for. Amen. And this isn't throwing off or allowing people to throw off on others. It's saying that this is the lifestyle that God has called us to as his sons and his daughters. We are the mirror image, or should be the mirror image of Christ in the earth. He left us the authority of his name. That's why he said, you know what? Up to this point, you've asked nothing of me. But from now on, ask in my name, and I will give it to you. I will do it. It will bring, because it will bring glory to the Father. So our job then is to go out and demonstrate the character of Christ, using the name of Jesus as our authority to bring glory to God the Father. No place in there did you see use our name to bring us some glory that we're going to put Jesus' name on. But that's what we actually see sometimes, you know, and I said it on the last broadcast or the broadcast before. I said there's too many people playing around with this, and people who really need the help can't find help because they don't know what's real or what's Memorex. Hello, somebody. So as we begin to get into this, we have to understand that there's a life style that we have to live, and there's a way that we have to demonstrate who we are in the earth. They're looking for the true testimony of Jesus Christ in the earth. Amen. They want to see that is this a figure in history, or is this the Messiah, the one who came to bring salvation to the world? Because if he's not the Messiah, then all of this that we're doing is for naught. Amen. And I refuse to believe that he's protected and he's demonstrated the power of the kingdom of God using the name of Jesus up until this point, and it was off and off. Amen. If you want to know whether or not this works, you need to look at the testimony of those who have been healed, those who have miracles that have been performed. I'm not talking about those who are putting on airs trying to get people to give more money to them because they seem to be anointed. I'm talking about those who didn't have no money, and yet and still they prayed, and there was a response from heaven, and they had the testimony to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? I remember coming up, my mother and father, when we was coming up, we would be at church, and they did testimony service. And there will always be somebody, I can't say always, because it would say that there's always some broke down something going on, and that's not what I'm trying to say. But when there's testimony where someone said, listen, I didn't have money for my life, And they came and they told me that they were going to cut the lights off. And I went into my prayer closet and began to pray and tell the Lord, Lord, I don't have no money. I don't know how to do this. The food that we just got is in the refrigerator. It's going to all go bad. Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, if you don't help me here, if you don't do something now, I believe that you can work it out. And we're trusting and we're believing in you. Our faith is in you, God. Don't let us down. Don't let us be one that the world can look at and say, where's your God? Lord, we believe in you and we're trusting in you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for the miracle in advance. The person came to shut off the lights and left. And after they left, drove down the street, they hit the light switch and the light still came on. And they sat back and looked and said, I know they just came and turned it off. Did they do? What happened? See, after all is said and done, the prayers, the fervent, effectual prayers of the righteous man avail much. Amen. They were living the life. So when they called on him, there was a connection. And then with the connection comes a response. Amen. See, and when I can say personally with us, We had the same thing happen. I mean, we were up in Ohio, and me and my wife, and we were living all we could live. And, you know, giving and sowing and serving and everything else. And I remember she told me that the people came and said, we're here. Either you can pay here or, you know, you're going to have to go downtown and pay the reconnection and everything else. And she was like, we ain't got it. You know, we can't do nothing, not until payday comes. Can you please give us a stay until payday? And how long was it?
About a week.
About a week or so. And she went and, you know, they said, well, we can't do nothing. We got to cut it. So she went ahead and called me and told me they're going to cut the service and everything. The people are here now. And I was like, could you tell them to wait? And they were like, no. I said, Lord, you know what? I believe. You're going to work this out. And she was praying and I was praying. And we went on about our business. I think she left and I wasn't home. And I came home and hit the light switch and the lights came on. And she came in and she looked, did you pay that bill? I said, no. Did you just get back from paying the bill? She said, no. You know what? When we went down a week later to settle out with the company to, you know, get everything together, they was like, when do you want us to come out and turn your lights on? Mm-hmm. And my wife said, the lights never went out. Amen. It wasn't because we went and hooked them back up. It was because we prayed and trusted God. Amen. Miracles like that. I still remember Mother Gloria Dean Coleman, who's going on to be with the Lord, had an older station wagon, loaded the station wagon up with luggage of people, and headed from Ohio to New York for convocation on one tank of gas. And I know that all of you know that there's no way in the world for that car to make it. But she made it there and was driving around through Harlem where we was having convocation and everything. And she was asking people, help me get some gas so I can go back home. Well, how did you get here? I filled it up with what we had, and we prayed, and we were shouting and praising and thanking God all the way here. And we made it. See, miracles, signs, and wonders are for those who don't believe to have something that they can grab hold of and say, you know what? She's real and it's real. Amen. Otherwise, in your carnal mind, you would say, I'm not even going to start out for New York because I ain't got nothing but a tank of gas. Well, listen, if your faith isn't up to that, I don't think you should. But her faith was well beyond that. There's other things that she used to do that we used to sit back and scratch our head trying to figure out how she could make it where she was making. She had tires that were so bald that they probably need to be on a racing car, you know, a slicks. But she was still driving through snow and everything else, never slid off the road or anything else. That was a woman of faith, and she lived it. Amen. So when I begin to talk about miracle signs and wonders, and understanding it, I understand it because I've seen it in my life. Bishop Garrett, who is our spiritual father, Bishop Garrett, I've seen him under the tent. People would come from out in the neighborhood, and they would walk right up under the tent. And as soon as they walk under the tent, whatever they could come in high, drunk, or whatever it was, as soon as they hit up under that tent, that they became sober right now. And he would keep on preaching and say, I know y'all don't understand what just happened, but have a seat. God has a plan for your life. Those people got saved and became pillars of the church. Mm-hmm. See, this holiness I'm talking about is a lifestyle. When it's time for you to pray and for you to need God, we don't have time for you to go into your 3-day fast. We don't have time for you to get your prayer book out. If you don't have a connection, my brother, my sister, you need to develop it today. Get it together because we are fighting a real battle. There's a real enemy out there, and he could care less how big you try to make yourself. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. Amen. And as long as we're focused on him, the enemies of your soul are going to be after you. Amen. And that's why you have to put on the whole armor of God. Those who say, listen, I don't have to do anything because Jesus Christ has done it all. I can live the good life now. You really need to keep on reading because we're told to put on the whole armor of God, for we battle not against flesh and blood. Some of you are still fighting people. They need to keep my name out their mouth. Oh, I pray that the Lord just might them. Listen, that's not the prayer to be praying when you're supposed to be interceding for your brother. Amen? See, that's why he said, bless your enemies. Why? Because there's going to be some people who are acting and responding out of their pain, out of their suffering, out of their frustration. And once they get it together, they'll come back and say, I'm so sorry. I was hurting and I didn't know. And please forgive me. But what happens if you don't pray for them? Then they go off hurting other people. And the thing is that we take so much offense in ourselves and what people say to us and how they look at us that we become offended. So what we begin to do is we begin to hurt other people because we're hurt. So now you got people bleeding over other people in leadership. You in leadership hurt and you bleeding over everybody else. They need healing, and you can't even talk to them about healing because you won't accept it for yourself. God is trying to get us to walk this walk and stop making a mockery of Christianity. Lord, help us today. Hebrews 12:14, look what it says there. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. As I was studying that, and looking at that, it begins to talk about the fact that even though a king would have many children, it was only his favorite ones that could come into his presence. Amen? So that means that when you are sitting back saying, you know, I'm the favorite of the Lord, but yeah, can you ask him right now to do something? Do you have a rapport because of your obedience? Amen? That God will respond to you right now when you pray. I remember Mother Miles used to walk all over the city of Toledo. I mean, she would walk. You would offer her a ride. She said, no, I'm okay. Where you going? I'm going over to the east side. Well, you know, that's almost 10 miles. I'm okay. I'm just going to walk. I'm walking and praying and talking to God. And that lady would get over to the east side. And you know, but whenever we needed somebody to get a hold of God right now, we could say, Mother, we need you to pray about. And before she finished, we finished saying that the Lord would always tell her, what the answer was. And there was certain times when she said, well, let me pray a little bit on it. He hasn't said anything. But if she told you that God said yes, you could bank on a yes. If God said no, you could bank on a no. Amen. If he told you to do something, go three blocks, turn left, jump three times, you better be up in the air on that third time, three blocks down to the left. Amen. It's just that clear cut. Amen. Holiness without which no one will see the Lord. I decide that in my life that I'm going to live a life of holiness. That means that as Apostle McQueen, I don't care if people like me because I'm or don't like me. I'm not going to sell out to the popularity crowd. Amen. I'm not going to go out and I'm not trying to be liked by everybody. Everybody is not my assignment. But for those who come down the path that the Spirit sends them, when they see me, they need to hear an integral word. When they see me, they need to see the characteristic of Christ. They need to see that I'm a child of God and that I have a connection with him. Their salvation, huh? Their deliverance, their miracle, their healing is tied to my lifestyle and who I am. You see that? How bad is it when people come and see you and they don't see Christ, they see you? Well, there's a problem here. Amen? Well, let's read on. The 15th verse, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we're about to see this here. 15th verse, looking carefully, you see this? Lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. That means that if I'm pursuing peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord, that then looking carefully, I need to carefully watch how I move. Amen. My wife would tell you that if I tell you yes, that I've already thought about it. Amen. And I'm going to do everything to make sure that that yes is affirmed. Amen. Just like if I say no, you can try to move heaven and earth. That no is not going to change. Amen. But I don't say yes or no just to say it. I always look at it and consider where I'm going. Amen. That way, when I come, I know I'm not coming for any ulterior motive. I don't have any hidden agenda. Amen. And we're not walking into any ulterior motives or hidden agendas. It was Bishop Garland, what's his name? His brother was up in with Mother Boy.
Garfield.
Garfield. Garfield, yes, he said Curlin. That was it. Garfield Curlin. Bishop Garfield Curlin said this. He said, listen, how many times has the devil used you and you knew it? The Holy Spirit told you, don't say nothing, don't do nothing, and, you know, walk away, let it alone. But you just had to step up and let them know who you are. Put them in their place and shake your fingers. Your neck got a little loose and your head got a little wobbly. Your voice went up in tone and pitch and you have your hand on your hip and you show out. You knew that the Holy Spirit said, let it alone. But you couldn't listen to the Holy Spirit right now. You had to give them both barrels. And then you turn around and say, Lord, help me. He's still working on me. He worked on you before you went through that episode. Because he knew who else was looking at that whole scene. You understand? And the person who saw it will be more damaged than the person who didn't care that you went off in the first place. Amen? So the Lord knows exactly what we need to do. And when he gives us instruction, he gives us instruction knowing the outcome of it. But sometimes we go around him or we don't heed his wisdom. Amen? So he said, how many times has the devil used you and you knew it? Now think about how many times the devil has used you and you didn't know that you were being used. You saw something and inside you felt that somebody needed to say something. And then even though your intent was correct, you went and said something or you tried to do something, it was misconstrued, it caused a problem, it caused a breaking, it caused a separation, it caused hurt, discouragement. You was just trying to help out, but, you know, it caused everything but help. You see, when you look at that, see, sometimes we look with our eyes, and if it was me, I would want somebody to say something, so I said something. Then we consult the Holy Spirit to see if we were the one who need to say something. Is it, like I said, every assignment, everybody is not my assignment. Amen? Because there are certain people that God has given me voice in their ears. Amen? And I have to be wise enough to use that to build the kingdom and not to tear other people down. See, so if I'm trying to do the right thing, but I'm not sensitive to the Spirit, then I can step outside the lines of what I intend to do and actually it'll have the opposite effect. Amen? Amen? And if it has the opposite effect, then that means that the enemy could be using me there. And then he said, now, if there's times when the enemy uses you, the devil uses you, and you know, and there's times, think about the times that he's used you and you didn't know it. Now, think about the grace of God in your life. What is the grace of God in your life? The grace of God in your life simply says this. It says that when God looks at us and God hears us, he sees our intent and he sees our flaws, but he still loves us. And the grace of God is what covers us. Now, the grace of God is so important because we're talking about holiness here, right? And if we're dealing with holiness, then you have to understand the grace of God, amen, is what keeps you connected even when you're wrong, when you're being chastised, when you're being corrected. And see, get off the chip off your shoulder that I'm never right or I'm never wrong, and they ain't got no way to, if I need the Holy Spirit to teach. Listen, the Holy Spirit uses whomever he will to get the point across. For us to sit back and say that we can listen to the Holy Spirit, I can listen to a child. Let a child really walk up to you and tell you that God said blah, 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 and it was something that was embarrassing to you to hear. You'll be looking at that child like, who are you? You ain't nothing but a kid. But listen, you just said. We've seen it happen. Sure. Amen? And somebody has to come back and say, listen, you know, really, they were true. You know, it was true. Now, whether or not you felt they had the position to say something or not, you still say, I could receive it if it's right, even if it comes from a child. Yeah, huh? Yes. Yes. Tell that one there. Oh. Yes.
My husband and I, amen, were in a restaurant in Detroit after a high service in the Lord.
Yes.
And the apostle, Bishop Iwanilat, who was our pastor at that time, and also one of our spiritual mothers as well, was teaching on a lesson saying, can you receive from God however he decides to give it to you? And everybody stood up there, oh, yeah, I can receive, I can receive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my husband and I were at a restaurant. We were eating. All of a sudden, there was this homeless person that wandered into the restaurant. It was cold because it was around December, January, February sometime.
Up in Detroit.
You know, it's very bitter. So the bum was sitting over in the corner. Then all of a sudden, the lady or the homeless person, as we should call now, the homeless person was going, you know, to different tables, you know, asking people for money. People were kind of shooing her away. And all of a sudden, she made her way out of nowhere up to our table and just started talking to us. And within 5 minutes of the conversation, she ministered everything that God had told us in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
No one else knew what was going on. This woman didn't know us from Adam. This was a Caucasian lady. And from the beginning, she said, and God said this, and God said that, and God said the other. And was on point.
Yes. Words she said that night that came to pass after we left it. We're not dealing with divination or what mm-hmm. somebody's going and hearing. You know, we're talking about spiritual things. Amen. And she went directly and heard it and spoke it to us. Mm-hmm. And we turned around and looked at her and looked at each other and said, that is the word of God. That is what he said. You know, and thank you. Blessed mm-hmm. her and let her go on. When she walked out the door.
Okay.
And we, you know, paid our meal and ran out the door after her. And there was nobody there.
Nobody.
See, you have to understand, when you can receive from people, when you can walk the walk, you never know where that word's going to come from. Amen? Look what it says here. It says, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. People need to see you and see your life and see that you are walking the walk. Not that you have a good testimony, not that you got all the religious cliches down and, you know, the legal Christian jargon down, you know, but that you actually live what you're preaching. Is your testimony accurate to the life that you actually purport before men and women? When they see you, do they see validation of the testimony that you had everybody shouting off of up in church? Or did you just learn how to move the crowd by saying the right things? See, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. This is what we have. I had a teacher last semester who came to me and said, listen, I don't have a problem with Jesus or anything like that. I have a problem with church people. I watch these people and what they do and how they go out and they say one thing and they run all over the place and then they turn around and do something else. And that is where I have my problem. So I don't go around them because I don't want to be around people who are not real. You know, if I'm going to the club, I know if somebody will step up to me that they already got a game. You know, if I'm over here, I'm doing something else. I know when people approach me and they interact with me, I already know where they're going and where they, you know, why they came. We all came there on Friday night hoping that we could take somebody home. I already know that. That I don't have a problem with that. But when I go to church, when I happen to go over and see my mother and she go faithfully to church, I don't understand how some of these same people who was trying to do this, that, and the other, you know, would be sitting up there in church and acting like they wasn't out last night. And I saw them. And they're like, hey, acting like, you know, nothing, no biggie. Okay, that's what the scripture is talking about. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Amen? Because when people see us, they need to see integrity in us. Let's read on. It says, lest any root of bitterness, Lord help us, springing up, cause trouble. That means that, as I said before, we have people that we have seen and we know in leadership, amen, who have been hurt, amen. And let me say something right here. I'm just going to say it, amen. Receive it as it is. It is the truth. And anyone in leadership can tell you the same. There are people that will hurt you when you are in leadership. Amen. There are people who will come in and do whatever they want you to do. They'll walk on you, step on you, spit on you, everything else. They'll try to do everything they can. And if you turn around and have a thought, they say, well, you're a preacher. Well, you're supposed to be a man of God. You know, and so what we have then is we have people who take that hurt and they internalize it. And every sermon that they preach is about how people do you wrong. Or they're talking about that pet peeve that they had, you know, that issue that somebody hurt them with. When I said that people are bleeding, leaders are bleeding over sheep. We have bloodborne illnesses that are going throughout the body of Christ because there are people who have been hurt who refuse to get healed. And when we come and we say, listen, the Lord told us to tell you that you can be healed. He wants you simply to let it go. Will you let it go? You just don't understand what they did. In other words, the answer is no, I won't let it go. Well, if you won't let it go, how can you be healed? How can you be delivered? How can you be set free when the breaker is here and you become resistant to his move? You become resistant to the spirit. And what happens when you become resistant? You still hold the position in leadership, but now you're bitter. Hello, somebody. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. Is that what it says? And by this many become defiled. So now here you are, you're preaching a word. You're teaching a word. But it's all about how you were done wrong. Nothing about the grace of God who can keep me, who can take me through. Listen, if you went into something, that's because there's two reasons for it. Either you are hard-headed, and the Spirit said, don't go, and you went anyhow, and this is the repercussion of it, in which case there is a remedy to it. Lord, forgive me for being hard-headed. Forgive me for my disobedience, and help me to walk correctly. Healing then needs to take place. That means you need to let go of the response, amen, and allow healing to manifest in your members. Or number two, you're going through a process where the Lord let you into something to work something out of you that was cantankerous to your progression in the kingdom of God. Amen? So God says, listen, in order for me to get that out of you, I got to smooth you out with a little of this sandpaper. So even though you look at it and you see that it's abrasive, the end result of it is a smoother, more polished you. You can reflect me better because I got rid of what was causing me to be distorted when people looked at you. You understand? Now, when you're going through and he's polishing you or processing you, don't become bitter in the process. Lord, I wish I had time to preach that. This root of bitterness here causes us, instead of preaching the grace of God, to preach hatred and separation within the body of Christ. That's why people get upset and we left this church because they ain't right. But then they went over to another church and they left that church because they ain't right. And they went over to another church and they left that because, you know, they ain't right. And then they all of a sudden don't go to any church because ain't nobody right. They never stop to deal with the fact that you don't go to church for right people. You go to church for right God. Huh? You go to church so that you can deal with the fact that he's wooed you. He's called you. He called you to himself. It's your relationship between you and him that is on trial here. Not whether or not I can walk a tightrope in your presence. Hello, somebody. God is trying to get us to understand that when we have a process in processing that's going on, that he's trying to move us into the next level of ministry. He's trying to develop us. You hear us at the end of broadcast when we pray after we get to the end, we say, listen, if you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we pray that you are that the Holy Spirit leads you to a ministry that is Bible teaching, Bible believing, so that you can be developed and matured. The problem with a lot of people is not that they need to be delivered. They'd be okay if they got delivered. No, they got saved. Okay, that was the deliverance part. But now they're walking undeveloped. Those of us in leadership need to be walking and helping them to develop. When they mature and develop, you'll stop seeing wayward activity in their life. Hello, somebody. See, when I know to do better, I'll do better. Until I know to do better, I'll do what I know to do best. Amen? So we can't complain if I'm not doing the best I can, if no one would sit down and show me better. And that's what happens. We can't be sitting up here upset and mad at everybody. And every time people come to us for development, they don't get nothing but a load of what this person did. When I ain't going over there. And they thought, yeah, baby. That's your flesh. Where's God being glorified in that? We got to get rid of the root of bitterness. Amen. Springing up. Huh? Cause trouble. You see that? By this, many become defiled. Well, let's keep going on and see what it says. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. And I'm going to say this. We got too many sellouts in pulpits right now. We had a few people that we... we're dealing with in ministry, and they were so much about money and a dollar and what they could do and what they got, and it was so materialistic that, you know, they didn't preach Jesus. Everything that they preached brought it right back to them. In order for you to get something from God, you got to see, you got to come to me. Well, the Bible says these signs shall follow them that believe, okay? Okay, that means that everything that we get because we are the children of God. Now, I'm not talking against proper leadership and order, amen. I'm talking about those who, what's it, 1 Timothy 6 and 5, 6 and 6, who use the gospel as a means of gain for wealth. Okay, and they're not sufficient. They don't look at the sufficiency of Christ. So where God would say, listen, I'm only going to give you this because if I give you more than that, then it'll lead you away from me and your relationship. They look for whatever they can get all they can, and take yours too if they could. See, like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Well, how does that work? Well, let's go back to Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. The first thing that Satan tempted him with is turn these stones to bread. See, your appetite, you see that? Your appetite can lead you into things that you shouldn't be into. It'll lead you directions that you shouldn't be going. Huh? Eve saw the tree and saw that it was desirous for food, and she wanted it, and she reached out and took it, and here we are now. See, why are you saying this? Why are you saying this? A morsel of food sold its birthright? You say you're a child of God, but really, have you sold out to being a child of God? Or are you looking at everything that's glitter? You want it to be gold, so you're running after that. I said before, we're not going to be the popular ministry when it comes down to people. If you're looking for you know, the big offerings and all the other stuff when you come to minister for Christ the King, I'm sorry. I believe that the workman is worthy of his hire, and I'm not talking about you come from Timbuktu or come from Washington State all the way to Florida and we give you $150 and a chicken dinner and we put you up at the Red Roof Inn. No, I'm not talking about that, because I believe that that is a grave miscarriage of justice. Amen. But what I'm saying is, when you come here, you don't have to stay at the Waldorf Astoria. You don't have to eat prime rib every night on my ticket. Amen. huh, on my tab. See, and what we have is we have people going from pillar to post. Even when you get off the airplane, you have to get off on first class. And then when you get down, we should have a chauffeur waiting for you with your name. You should get in, and there should be a wet bar there because you're not drinking. It should have all your juices and Perrier and everything else. And, you know, when you get to your room, we're going to have a room service for you, and they'll come up. If you want don't even have to crack the lobster claws and stuff. They'll do it for you. We put you up at the... Listen, when we go out and minister, sometimes we got to take with us cleaning supplies. Hello, somebody. My wife would tell you, I learned how to travel like a champ when it comes down to that, because I know that when I go on assignment, sometimes where I'm going for assignment, I'm going to be the blessing. I'm not trying to go get a check. You understand? I'm going to be a blessing, so I'm coming so I can be a blessing to them. I receive from them because there has to be a transference, amen, of the offering. But sometimes the Lord says, okay, now you received it from them, now sow it back into them. You understand? See, when God does stuff, then you don't lose. But you can do the work without it becoming a problem. Amen. What happens if I won't go to the people because they don't have enough zeros behind what they might be able to do for me? What if in that area the highest star is 2 at the Super 8? What about my contract that says I have to stay at a 4 or 5 star hotel? See,
some people ain't coming.
Some people are not coming. Does that mean that the gospel is not for you? Have I sold out the anointing for a softer bed? See, we got to, and again, please, I'm not talking about because I'm full-time ministry. Amen. I'm not talking against having nice things and taking care of my bills at home and all the rest. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying when your focus becomes so much about what they're going to do for you, other than what the Spirit of God gives you an assignment to go do. See, some of the stuff they call assignment really is an assignment. Amen, somebody. See, we're talking about holiness. When you talk about holiness, then the lifestyle you live, you got to trust. When Jesus sent them out, they went out. Amen. And when they came back, he said, when you went out and ministered, did you lack anything? And they said, no, Lord, nothing. So that means that I have to trust in him. If I'm going on assignment and I'm going to minister the word through the anointing of God, miracles, signs, and wonders are going to manifest through the word of God and through the power of the name of Jesus Christ, then that means that anything that happens then is his. It's because of him. Amen? So if I got $100, $1,000, no dollars, did I do the assignment? Because down the road, that $100 that I would have got that I scoffed at could be $10,000 for a door that was open. You went to that $100, but we're going to bless you over here. Well, what if you don't go to the $100? You can't get that other door open. You haven't labored for that. Amen? See, in music, I can talk as a musician now. We have what we call paying your dues. Amen? And I'll say it in that manner. Amen? Because before you get to the big events and the big paying concerts and venues, you have to go through the school of hard knocks to make sure your character, your integrity lines up to that big venue. Amen? I share it with one of my friends. I say, y'all all looking to get paid, you know, traveling, being musicians. I've been playing since I was 4. You know, I've traveled around the world and everything, but I already understand that your integrity and your character speaks a lot more than your talent and your ability. There'll be somebody who can just play a little bit, but they're dependable and they're going to do their job and they'll get a gig and you can play circles around them upside down with your eyes closed. Amen? Holding your breath almost out of air. See, They said, I don't understand that. I said, it's not about your ability. It's about your character and your integrity. Now let's bring that back into the church and back into the kingdom lifestyle. When you live this lifestyle, amen, when you demonstrate and you mirror Christ, then your integrity and your character helps people to see that the dues that I paid was that when he said no, I said no. When he said yes, I said yes. When he sent me over here, I went. When he told me to stay and don't go, I stayed and didn't go. See, we got too many Balaks out there. Well, I'm gonna give you all of this if you come and curse these people. Ooh, that's a big offering. That's gonna be a big honorary. That's gonna be on stage. Who else gonna be on that stage for me? Oh, I'm on stage for. Wait a minute, hold on. What if that's not the venue that you're supposed to be ministering at? See, that's why people go out and mess themselves up, because even though the door opened, it opened because you were marketing yourself, not because you were sent. There are doors that the Holy Spirit will open for you that you'll never have to worry about opening. So just like this verse here, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Huh? You don't have to sell your birthright. Everything that is coming to you will come to you because you are a child of God. Do you understand that God has your blessing already set as part of your inheritance? Do you know that as part of your inheritance, you don't have to do anything but receive it? How do you receive it? I'm a child of God. I'm connected. I have a right now to that inheritance. And you're part of that inheritance nobody else can get. You understand? So God says, all I want you to do is walk right before me and be holy, for I am holy, and I will receive you. I seek his face. I want to see him. I want to know him greater and greater and greater. And I want you to do the same. If you look and see all of this that we're talking about, and you know that you have been party to it, or you've seen it and you validated it, And the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, I want you right now to ask the Lord to forgive you, but then turn and begin to walk integral of the calling that God called you to. Christianity is on display throughout the world. And we don't see people coming to Christ like they did. 3,000 were saved, and such were added to the church, because people aren't seeing him. They're seeing our foolishness. And God is telling us to get it together. Be holy, for I am holy. One last verse as we end this, 17. It says, for you know that afterwards he wanted to inherit the blessing. He was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. My brothers and sisters, let's cry now and not later and get it right. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this word. It's not a popular word, because it's a word that calls us to do some introspection and look at ourselves and then question our motives and make sure that we're really focused on you and the assignments that you've given us. Lord, I pray right now that you would help us to see the error in our way, so that we can demonstrate and be proper representatives of the kingdom of God in the earth. Satan, the Lord God, rebuke you. You're lying, wonder, you are father of lies, and everything that you told us to get us off track, we rebuke right now. Every assignment that you set up, everything that you tried to put in the way so that we couldn't see what we needed to see and we'd be distracted, we come against it now in the name of Jesus, and we speak wholeness in the lives of your men, your women, in the name of Jesus. We will live this kingdom lifestyle. We will demonstrate the authority of the name of Jesus. We will live as those who belong to and are the children of the living God. Now, Lord, if there's anyone who's not saved, I pray right now that they pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation, in Jesus' name, amen. Lord, if they praise that prayer, we pray that you lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church, that they may be mature and develop and go on and do the work that you called them to do in the name of Jesus. And Father, one last thing, we pray, Lord, for miracles, signs, wonders, healings, deliverance to manifest throughout the body of Christ and throughout the lives of those listeners who will hear this word and heed to it and do it in the name of Jesus. We pray and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr. There you'll find out more about us. We pray that you become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it is God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.